You're listening to Wheelationships.
We are doing part two. Kind of stopped in the middle, and some of you were a little distressed because we didn't finish all the blanks. And then you knew the handout wouldn't be the same this week, so it was a little distressing. Screen will not, you won't have anything on the screen either this morning. We're having technical issues. So, you'll just have to watch me. We're continuing our series on the decided life, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, in your job, in your finances, at your work. Where do you want to be? All of those areas. Are you where you want to be? And if you're not there, how will you get there? When will you get there? When will you even start trying to go there? That's part of what we're trying to get to. I'm going to take you quickly through last week in case some of you weren't here, and just to refresh everybody else, because although I'm sure you took the notes home and were pondering this all week, I'll just remind you.
We decided to take the notes
home. You decided, yes. So to remind you, you have the verse there where we started. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Very straightforward principle. It's the principle of wisdom. The wise correct their course. The unwise do not, and suffer. It's a principle. No need to try to fight against it or change it. It's just the way life works. The wise correct their course. The unwise do not, and suffer. Straightforward principle leads to a straightforward question. This is what Andy Stanley calls the best question ever. In light of my past experience and my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? Anytime you're faced with a choice, anytime you're trying to decide what you're going to do, then this is the question to ask. In light of my past experience, in light of everything that I've gone through, in light of the 15 times I've tried this before the exact same way, and it never worked out, in the light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? And to that principle of wisdom, we add a second part. And the second part comes from this verse in Proverbs 3:13. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. So the second part of the principle of wisdom is this. Wisdom waits to be gathered. It's there, but we have to find it. We have to gain it. So wisdom waits to be gathered. So with those two principles in place, with those two parts of wisdom in place, knowing that the wise correct their course and the unwise do not suffer, and that wisdom waits to be gathered, we must make a decision. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do in response to that principle? Will I sit and wait for things to happen? Will I sit and hope that everything just works out? Because after all, doesn't it always just work out?
No.
Or will I actively look for the wisdom that's waiting to be gathered? Well, the wise decision is I will seek wisdom. I will seek wisdom. So, if I decide to seek wisdom, if I decide to gather it in order to put it to use in my life, so that I'm not aimlessly floating downstream. You remember we had the sign last week of, you know, waterfall ahead, pull your canoe out, pull your kayak out. You're going downstream. You got a choice. You see the danger. If I want to put this wisdom to use instead of just aimlessly going down, I want to seek wisdom that's going to enable me to seek refuge at the appropriate times, then how do I do that? And that's what we went on to talk about last week. And the first action we can take is to, it says, I will train my eyes and ears to gather wisdom. I will train my eyes and ears to gather wisdom. This is different than simply hoping I'll pick up all the right stuff from whatever comes my way. And there's so much stuff that comes our way. You tell your children, I hope you do, to guard your eyes. Because the eyes are the doorway to the heart. And you know that, you know, you sit and you watch certain things, it affects you. You listen to certain people, it affects you. You read certain things, it affects you. You listen to particular kind of music. You listen to a particular kind of talk radio, and it affects your emotions. It affects what you do. So you know that with your children, it's the same way with us. And so somebody's going to be programming you. It might as well be you. You might as well train your ears and eyes to seek wisdom, to gather wisdom. And the primary way we said to do that was to read books. And I'm going to say this a couple more times. Really, read books. Not just Dr. Seuss. To your kids, you know, read books. Secondly, if I'm going to seek wisdom, I will listen to the counsel of the wise. This is kind of where we ended last week. If you're trying to get to a place that you've never been, you're going to need to rely on others who know the way. You're going to need to rely on people who've been there. A few days before Shay left for New York, and she's doing fine. She's cold, but she's fine. A few days before she left for New York, I was driving her car, and I went to Publix, and it died. Of course, she's going to leave in 2 days. What does she care? I said, it's still your car. I guess you could pay for it still, right? But no. So I checked, and it was a problem that I knew I was going to have a mechanic for. So I called the tow truck, and because you know, I had good insurance through Farm Bureau. Thank you, Wendell. And so they came, and the guy, you know, he works the whole area, but he doesn't really know this area, and I wanted him to take it to a particular place, so I said, okay. I was in Summer's car because Summer was home, so I said, I'll follow, you know, I'll go with you. He goes, well, I'll follow you, because he didn't know the way. I'd been there. I'd been to the mechanic. Not only he could follow me and follow the way I went, but before we left, I told him, I gave him a little direction. Okay, we're going to go down here, we're going to turn right, and we're going to go down there, we're going to turn left. And when you get on this road, it is a really, 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 really bad road. So go nice and easy. You're coating my car. He listened to me and it was great, okay? Because I had been there. You see people and you want to go their direction. Find out how they got there. Anywhere you want to go in life. You want to live a godly life, then get direction from people who seem to be living a godly life. You see people that have a healthy marriage that looks like the one, then get wisdom from them. They probably know how to get there. They have a map. Take a look at their map. It really seems obvious, right? You get directions from people who have been there and know the way to go. But isn't it really amazing how often we try to borrow the map of somebody who's never been there? We see the stuff that people have, so we want to acquire it, ignoring the fact that they're in debt that we don't want to be in. Right? We parent like everybody else is parenting and wonder why our kids aren't doing any better than their kids are. Of course, we convince ourselves, oh, yes, they are. It's their kids that are influencing my kids. And my kids are angels. Okay. Or we treat our spouse the way our parents treated each other. We don't think about it, but that's the map we're using. And it takes us to where we don't want to go. Surprise. Consciously or unconsciously, we all tend to borrow from the maps of others. You are who you spend time with. So whose maps are you borrowing? Whose patterns are you following? It's a good question to ask yourself. If you're seeking wisdom, if you want to listen to the counsel of the wise, then think about who you're listening to. You might say, well, I'm my own person. I'm following my own map. Well, actually you're just following a very well-worn path of unconventional individualists. And a lot of people have gone that way. And whether you're trying to be unconventional or conventional, whether you're trying to be individualist or not, it's still a path and it leads somewhere. So you'll be farther ahead if you recognize that others have been where you're trying to go, and you can save yourself a lot of time and trouble and hardship if you borrow from the maps and borrow from the right maps. Solomon said this. You have all these verses in Proverbs. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Proverbs 13, through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. The unwise don't take refuge. They don't take refuge in the counsel of others, and they suffer for it. That's basically what all these are saying. So, and can I go back to the book thing for just a second? I mentioned it at the end last week. I'll mention it again. If you choose not to read books, you're ignoring a vast collection of people who have been where you want to go. Okay? Just saying. So, books. One other sub-point here is if I choose to seek wisdom, if I choose to listen to the counsel of the wise, then I should also choose my friends with care. This goes along with whose maps are you borrowing? It's who do you spend time with? So who do you spend time with? Let me ask you something. What is a true friend to you? Crickets. All right.
Someone I can be my real self with.
Somebody you can be your real self with.
Somebody you can count on.
Somebody you can count on.
Somebody you feel safe with.
Somebody you feel safe with.
Somebody that I can be accountable with, and they can be accountable.
Mm-hmm. All those are good. Just be careful, okay? We all have our idea of what a friend is, and a lot of times, if you ask a lot of people, they'll say, well, it's, you know, they just accept me for who I am, okay? A lot of people will accept you as like you are. Okay. You go to the grocery store, clerk doesn't care. Accepts you as you are, person with money. Okay. Go to the bank, tell her, they'll accept you as you are. A friend expects more from you. A true friend expects more from you and won't let you slide with just being who you are because they know you can be better. they hold you to a higher standard. A true friend expects you to do what you said you were going to do when you said you were going to do it.
Amen.
True friend makes you better. The best illustration of this is what happened after Solomon. In 1 Kings 12, I give you a couple of verses there. This is about Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. And you remember the story, I hope most of you might, some of you don't, may not know the story. When Solomon died, Rehoboam became king. And he had the challenge of deciding which direction to take, not just for himself. This was a path that he was going to go on for himself and the entire nation of Israel. His father, in the past, had heavily taxed the people. I mean, Solomon had built the temple, and he'd done all this great stuff, but part of what he had done was on the backs of the people of Israel, and they had just given and given and given. And so in verse 4, the people come to Rehoboam, and they said, your father was a hard master, lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us, then we will be your loyal subjects. And Rehoboam's first response is a good one. Very good response. You don't have it here, but basically he says, okay, let me think that over. Somebody comes to you, it's a good thing to say, well, let me process this. I'm not going to just react rashly and do this. I'm going to think about this. And then his second response is good too. In verse 6, then King Rehoboam discussed the matter with the older men who had counseled his father, Solomon. What is your advice, he asked. How should I answer these people? Now, understand that these were the same guys that had been with Solomon and had been part of that taxation, heavy taxation of the people. So you would expect that they would just go, oh, yeah, just keep laying on. It's fine for your father, if they were concerned about just holding their position. But they tell him, give a favorable answer and the people will serve you always. They tell him, yeah, it's time to lighten up. It's time to do what the people are asking here and relieve them of that burden. Rehoboam's third response is that he rejects that counsel and he says, no. And he goes to the guys he grew up with. And they say, tax them harder. Show them what kind of king you really are. Your father taxed him heavy. You show him that you are much more of a king than that. And you're going to really lay into him. So Rehoboam goes with that. He sought counsel. But the path he then went on just set Israel for destruction. Ends up with kingdom split. Never got back together. It was a mess. So why? Because he wasn't really listening to the wise counsel. He was listening up here and to people that would just tell him what he already wanted to hear. We know this, right? You know this. You should seek wise counsel and not just be around people who will say, yeah, oh, yeah, I can't believe they did that to you. Oh, I would be mad too. I would have given him a piece of my mind. That's what I would have done. You are so right. You said that? Well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you a bit. I would, you should have just thrown it in their face. That's what you should have done. We want to hear that kind of thing. We want to hear that we were all right. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your counselors even more carefully. So two questions that I gave you last week, so you have to deal with them this week. One is, who is in your circle? Who is in your circle? In your inner circle of your life, the people you are most likely to borrow wisdom from, the people that will influence your life the most, family, friends, associates, colleagues, who is in that circle? Sometime this week, just list out who is in your inner circle, who can influence you. And family is I know will be in there, but really think about who else besides family and besides people that you pay if you're an employer, who influences you or that pay you, all right? Who influences you? Think about who you've allowed to shape the direction of your life, intentionally, unintentionally, good or bad. Because part of this is we tend to just want to do our own thing. And so we don't want people to influence us. And so we try to get to that place where nobody can tell me what to do. And it's nobody's business. It's just nobody's business. You know, nobody has a right. I am my own person and it's nobody's business. Well, let me tell you something. It will eventually become everybody's business. Every time we take a path, every time we go down this path, and we, especially when we say, well, I don't need that wise counsel because it's nobody's business. It's just up to me. You're going to make a decision. You're going to go down the path and everybody is going to judge that. Everybody is going to go, can you believe what they did? How dumb was that if they would have just sought wise counsel? Okay, so really, if you don't know, this was self-disclosure. Nobody would know this except for two other people in the world. But I'm in Dunkin' Donuts yesterday, and 5:30 in the morning. 5:30, so it's early. And I'm in Dunkin' Donuts up in Port Charlotte, and I'm in line, and the guy behind me yells at somebody across the room. I kind of look, and then the guy across the room looks at him, and the guy behind me goes, "Oh, sorry, I didn't thought you were somebody else." So he's a little embarrassed, and I turn and look, and I finish my thing, and kind of I'm waiting for my coffee, and turn around. He goes, "Hey, how you doing, sir?" Good, good. I'm thinking maybe a receipt fell out of my pocket because I just put it in there. Because he's kind of looking and he's checking me out, and he's like, "Oh." I realized later he's probably wondering if I was either high or drunk. But 5:30 in the morning, right? So he's, "I'm fine, good." I know he wants to say something else, so I'm like, "Do you know you have two different shoes on?" "I do now." "Maybe turn the light on when you get dressed." I said, "Yeah." he said, "I like the black one better." "I was going to wear the brown ones, but okay." You know? "On my own path." It becomes known eventually. I posted that online. And seriously, yeah. He would have been... Him and the lady in Walmart would have been the only ones, because, you know, by the time I got there, I was not going through the day with the both. I thought about it, but then I went to, there was a Walmart further up the interstate, and so I zipped in because it was too late to go home. So I zipped in Walmart and took my little, put the shoes, new shoes on, and went up to the lady and went, "Okay, I'm wearing the shoes that are supposed to be in this box. Just check this out, because these are what I was wearing." That was her reaction. Anyway, so who is in your circle? Who's in your second question is, which way are they leading you? Which way are they leading you? Very simply, up or down? Along the right path or along the wrong path? Which way are they leading you? Someone has said, "Guard your associations carefully. Anytime you tolerate mediocrity in your choices, companions, you become more comfortable with mediocrity in your own life. If a lazy man isn't an irritation to you, it's a sign that you have accepted slothfulness as a way of life." Okay. We're always in this process of change. Therefore, we might as well guide the direction in which we're going to change. So, you know, along with this, you can establish your own board of directors. And then that, you might want to establish your own board of directors. They don't have to know they're on your board of directors. Okay, you don't have to go up to somebody and say, "Would you be on my board of directors?" What? Simply find people who are smarter than you. Find people who are more skilled than you. More people, to have more fruit on the tree that you want to be a part of. Okay? Find people that are farther down the path. And put them on your board of directors. Okay. There's people on my board of directors, they don't know they're there. But I watch, I listen, I try to incorporate the wisdom I'm gaining and put it in my own life. I'm going to listen to the counsel of the wise. By the way, the more successful you get, the farther down the road you get. And some of you are far down the road. I mean, you've gained a lot of wisdom. It becomes more dangerous because we become more independent. Like I say, we don't want people telling us what to do. But the more dangerous it is, the higher up the ladder you go, the fewer people that are higher up on that ladder. The fewer people there are to look up to, seemingly. It can leave you feeling like Solomon. And it's interesting how we've talked in here and out in main service about Solomon lately. You know Solomon's story, right? He became king after David, his father. David had been a warrior. Solomon hadn't been a warrior. He was about 20. Okay, he's about 20 when he becomes king. So, because of his relationship with David, God asked Solomon, what do you want me to do for you? So think about that. Think about when you were 20. Okay. Imagine God coming to you and say, anything I can do for you?
Really?
Anything? Anything. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gives him wisdom like nobody else, along with riches and fame. The world and its leaders all come to Solomon so they can see all the splendor, they can see all the goods, and they can get Solomon's wisdom. And years later, Solomon writes these words of wisdom, Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." And there are two words in that verse that you need to understand that verse. And the first word is trust. In the original language, that word trust carried the meaning of lying face down, vulnerable, completely open and dependent. That's the idea of that kind of level of trust. Lying just face down. The other word to focus on in that verse is the word depend. Other translations say lean. Lean not. Depend not. Don't prop yourself up. Don't try to support yourself. Presents a picture, doesn't it? You put those two together, it presents a picture. It gives the third most important element of seeking wisdom. If I'm going to seek wisdom, then I will submit myself to God. I will trust, fully open and dependent. I will lean not. I won't put my weight on my understanding, but on God's. I didn't start with this one. I could have put this first as the first thing we should do because it really is. Because I thought it was so obvious, I thought I'd save it till now. At the same time, it's what we have to go back to over and over and over again. How often do we choose our path depending on what it looks like and what it feels like to us? Oh, that looks like the right thing. Everybody would do that. That's the obvious choice. I should do that. Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
And that becomes our mode. Our problem, though, is not information, it's independence. We have a lot of information. We get a lot of information. We get a lot of wisdom. God and everybody else gives us wisdom. We seek wisdom, we gain this wisdom, but the problem becomes not the wisdom, but the independence. We can get all the best information and read all the best books and get all the wisest advice, but until we submit ourselves to it, it's useless information. It's less used information, useless. Choosing the right path begins with submission. Solomon knew that. Trust, lean not. He knew that we're all prone to thinking we're wise enough, we're smart enough, we're experienced enough, we're careful enough to lean on our own understanding. We won't get hurt. It'll be all right. Somebody said, when considering our options, the place to begin is, Lord, I'm leaning on you. Not my experience, not my insight, not my education. When conventional wisdom conflicts with what you have revealed through Scripture, I'm going to lean hard into your revelation than on my own understanding. When my emotions are in conflict with your stated law, I'll lean on your law and get a grip on my emotions. Harness them. Trust in the Lord. Lean not. That's just half the picture. Next verse. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. In your wisdom seeking, seek his will. Submit yourself to what he has already revealed to you. Notice that it says, in all you do. How much? All. All you do. Not just the religious parts of your life. Not just the church parts of your life. Not just the parts that we normally associate with God and his will, okay? All. All means all. I don't know if you knew that, but all means all. In all you do, in dating, in marriage, in friendships, at your job, in your relationships, in your finances, in your education, all you do. And what's the promise? He will show you which path to take. There it is, path. He'll show it to you. He'll make it obvious. The right direction begins with submission. Having all the best information doesn't guarantee good decision making. Even having all the right wisdom doesn't guarantee it. Because a defining characteristic of a true wisdom seeker is humility. And true humility is shown by trusting God, leaning not on our own insight or our own wisdom, and submitting to Him in everything. See, Solomon is the best case scenario of this. He is the worst case scenario of this. Both ends of it. Because later in life, we know that Solomon ignored his own good advice. And he leaned on his own wisdom and his own understanding. And his issue was women. I mean, right from the very beginning, he had this issue with women. Some of you have an issue with not speaking when it's harmful, okay? Point out Greg back here. The wisdom of the day, was for kings to offer their daughters to other kings, and it became a peacekeeping measure. If you marry my daughter, you're going to be less inclined to attack me. And I'm going to be less inclined to attack you. That's kind of the conventional wisdom of the day. Kings would have daughters, and they would offer them to the opposing monarch, and they would take them as a wife, and that was a peace. That was treaty. And that was the way it worked. And so instead of following God's direct command, God said, A, one, B, not foreign. And Solomon said, okay, one from there, and one from there, and one from there, and one from there. and foreign, hey, they're part of me now because I married them. So he chose to follow the wisdom of the day. He chose to lean on his own understanding. And eventually he married women from almost every kingdom in that whole region and beyond. He had 700 wives. 700.
Wow. 700?
700 mother-in-laws. First Kings 11:4. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of being completely faithful to the Lord his God as his father David had been. He leaned into what made sense culturally. He leaned into what made sense in his own heart. He leaned into what made sense probably in his own lust. I mean, fear. He was afraid of other kingdoms. Pride, I can do this, I can handle this. Lust, those are the three things that always destroy wisdom. We get wisdom, we get the right path, but then we get afraid, we get cocky, we follow our emotions for what we want, and we set wisdom aside and go floating down that stream towards that waterfall, because I can handle it. I'm smarter than this. Instead of leaning on God. The thing, deep in our hearts, we believe that we're too smart to make decisions that are really long-term going to adversely affect us. We're convinced we're too careful, we're too shrewd, we're too experienced. We read Solomon's story and we go, yeah, he made some bad decisions, but I'm different. Because our own bent will always be towards trusting ourselves. That was the original problem with Adam. I'm going to trust what I think I should do rather than leaning hard on the wisdom that God has already laid out for me. So, when we choose to seek wisdom, then we must submit to God. So here's one more question to consider this week. What is the most difficult area of my life to surrender to God? What area is it that I tend to lean hard on my own understanding rather than leaning on what God has already specifically said?